You ready? Good afternoon, everybody. I call to order the House Committee on Redistricting for today, April 19th, 2011.
Good afternoon. I'm opening the Senate Committee on Redistricting for April 19th, 2011.
Thanks for being here. We are the House and Senate Committees meeting jointly on redistricting, and we are joined today, first of all, with Senate President Courtney. Welcome him, Senator Girod, Senator Boquist, and I think we have a handful of other guests that are coming. And I'd first like to just have the members of the committee introduce themselves really quickly. I'm sure there might be some more that come rolling in.
Senator Chris Telfer, District 27, which is also known as sunny Central Oregon, although I don't think it can compete with a day like today here.
I'm Senator Suzanne Bonamici. I represent Senate District 17, which is in Washington and Multnomah counties.
And I'm Representative Sean Lindsay. I represent House District 30, which is Hillsborough and North Plains.
Representative Kevin Cameron, representing House District 19, which is South Salem, Almsville, Turner, and East Rural Salem as well.
We're being joined today also by via video conference with residents in McMinnville, Yamhill County. And we have a volunteer that's helping our community there, and her name is Renee Berger. Can you hear us, Renee? Can you raise your hand?
She's gone.
Okay, wonderful. How many people do we have there to testify? Are both of you going to testify?
Yes.
Okay. Let me just walk through the logistics of this public hearing. As you came in today, you were handed a sheet that lists several questions that we consider in the redistricting process. Also outlines current maps of the area that we'll be discussing and current numbers and deviations that we'll be considering. At the top of this is a website that is the redistricting website, and also there's an email address. If you wish to submit your testimony electronically, you can do so by just emailing it to that email address at the top or going through the website. Also, I'd like just to remind everybody that today's testimony will be limited to redistricting. That's the scope of our testimony. If you want to discuss other issues, that's best reserved for other committees. Also, the plan today is to rotate between the two cities here in Salem and then move to McMinnville. And we're going to limit testimony to 4 minutes at this time, depending on how many people we get to testify. Based on experience, it looks like most testimony is able to be given within 4 minutes. And so we'll start with that. When you have a minute left, our good assistant here will raise her hand, and that means you've got a minute to go. And let's see here. We've been joined by Representative Vicki Berger, and we appreciate her being here as well. And we're going to start today by having President Courtney. Were you planning on testifying, or are you just attending? And Senator Boquist?
I'll testify.
Okay. Let's go ahead and start with Senator Girod and Senator Boquist. If you'd like to come up and go ahead with your testimony.
Okay to start?
Yeah, go ahead.
I got my 4 minutes going. Chair Lindsay, colleagues, this is short and sweet. I represent a fairly large district of which there's going to be some changes, and I understand that there'll be changes. There are some things, there are component parts that I think need to be.
And for the record,
Senator Fred Girod, Senate District 9. There are some things that need to be held together because I think it's extremely important. And that is various watersheds. I think that the North Santiam watershed, the South Santiam watershed, the Molalla watershed and the Clackamas watershed should be looked at as a whole and not divided up in parts. So much of the economy goes up and down those watersheds, and there's so much similarity between like Mill City and Staten, and that our economy is driven up and down those watersheds. So I think it's extremely important that those watersheds be kept whole. The second thing is I think that you need to look at what the main economic drivers are in various areas, and especially in those areas. I think timber, I think we need to be looking to make sure that timber isn't fragmented, and I think that you need to look and make sure agriculture is not fragmented as well. Initially, I was elected in 93, and I represented East Salem and Staten, and let me tell you, that was very, very difficult because the needs of Salem wasn't necessarily the needs of Staten. So that's pretty much my testimony. I just one time more is keep the watersheds whole. And you might fragment my district, but if you're going to do it, please keep those entities whole. I think it's only fair. Thank you so much.
Great, thank you.
Co-chairs, I'm Senator Brian Boquist from Senate District 12, and I'm probably going to irritate my colleague to the left here because we always argue about these issues. Having said that, I represent the rural portions of six counties presently in the Willamette Valley, which is a rather intriguing little trick, I guess, of the last time around. So when you start talking about communities of interest in my district, it's all rural, strange enough. But I start all the way up in Yamhill County, and then I move down into rural portions of Polk County. I slide across to rural portions of Marion County. You notice I didn't say cities yet. And then I swing down into Benton County and rural Benton County and around into Linn County. And then, ironically enough, as a twist of fate, I have six rural citizens that live in Lane County in Junction City on the far side of a bend in the river, which no one's quite exactly figured out because they're not supposed to be in my district, but after 10 years of voting that way, they've stayed there. I am almost, depending on the year until we banned field burning, the largest seed producer in the state. Now, we compete back and forth for that, but when we say rural farmland, that's exactly what we have out there. When the original redistricting happened out in the 12th district, I had more sawmills than any other district. Believe it or not, right here in the Willamette Valley, there were more sawmills. Many of those have gone away. What you do have in my district is about a dozen bedroom communities that most of them don't have a large grocery store, and many of them don't even have a service station. Some of them are thriving, like Yamhill and Carlton to the north, but when you get down to places like Alsea and Monroe, they are, again, small bedroom communities. They don't even hardly support the rural farm structure that's out there. But what we do have out of that rural population is also, frankly, a low-income district. We look very much like southeastern Oregon, but again, it's a farm community. And if you look at the farm situation, that's what you have on the far side. Yes, we have Highway 99. That's the commercial thoroughfare that runs north to south through our district right now, and that's an important feeder and something for your consideration. But the fact of the matter is I only have a deviation of 700 in my district, but I have all those people to the north and all those people to the east of me, and so whatever you do is going to impact me because last time around, I and the rural citizens of my district were kind of what was left over. And so that's why we have fingers going out that they say we're not supposed to have, but we do have them. We have the end of the city limits in Salem, at the end of every street, places like that that's out there. I think my plea to the committee would be that it has been a farm-rural district, and if you look out in places like Willamina and Sheridan, again, that don't have a large grocery store, and several of them don't even have service stations, but they have 3,000 in population, is that they are ruralites. They might be in a city, but they moved out to be in a bedroom community someplace out there. You go to there on the weekends, and the economy is what? Food markets, farm markets, farmers markets, shops, and little places on the street corners out there. And so when you talk about a community of interest, it is, in fact, you know, small rural farm communities. It's strange that it's here in the Willamette Valley, but that's what it is. I look forward to seeing, as I did last time, what transpires. But it is an interesting district. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you. And by the way, I'd like to just mention as well that we're charged with redistricting state House, state Senate, and congressional. And just keep that in mind for everybody that might be testifying today, where we have to redraw all those lines.
Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Girod, this question is probably directed at you. You mentioned at one point in time you represented East Salem and Staten, and there is, I want to clarify, if you go to the east side of Cordon Road, it's all grass seed agriculture. Would that east side of Cordon Road going north up towards Silverton Road have a community of interest with like agricultural places out towards Staten?
Yeah, I think that would be fine before okay. I went into actually northeast Salem. So
into residential areas. So that's what you're clarifying is.
You know, especially with water issues, it became very difficult because what was good for Staten with water, the irrigation district, might not be what was good for Salem. So it became kind of fragmented and it was a little tougher.
So follow up with me. Would it be a good just to keep the urban, I guess using urban versus rural dividing line there in a district like that? Is that a good way to describe it? You have agriculture versus homes on one side?
That would be fine.
Okay, thank you.
But can I just follow up just one more time? I think the watersheds are extremely important to keep intact, especially with the fish issues in the Willamette Valley. I really do. So Colton and Malala have something in common. Staten and Idana have something in common. And Sweet Home and Lebanon have something in common.
Mr. Chair, I'd also like to follow up to Representative Cameron's statement, because if you go just slightly south of the area you mentioned, the reason that was put into my district originally was because of the seed farms in the agricultural area, which really sweep all the way across the valley. You sweep out of the draws to the south and come across.
Any other questions?
Just to clarify then, Senator, you're suggesting that, again, we draw lines that keep urban versus rural areas distinctly divided because of the agricultural versus residential differences.
Co-Chair Lindsay and Representative Cameron, I would say that's true, but it's a little bit more complex than rural versus urban, because I do have cities like Jefferson, which are, in fact, rural cities,
right,
versus what you'd call a urban location, and of course they are farm-based, and even if you go out to Jefferson and look around, you still have farms almost in the downtown area. You don't find that in an urban area.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senator Girod, you talked about watersheds, and I know you mentioned Clackamas and another. Can you just talk about where the important watersheds are that
I have four major watersheds in my district. The Clackamas, the Malala, the North, and the South San Yam. And the nice thing about representing them, they all have fish issues, they're all timber-based and agricultural-based, so there's a lot of unanimity in that district the way it sits right now. But if you were to divide my district up, what I'm saying is keep the watersheds whole and don't fragment across the watershed. Okay.
All right. Thanks kindly.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, during this process, we've got to know lots of places of Oregon a little bit better. I think the best one was, I guess, a week and a half ago when we had the mayor of Boring sitting next to the representative from Happy Valley. And we thought that was quite fun to have those two together. All right. Before we move on to McMinnville, we've been joined by a couple other members of the committees. I'd like to just have them introduce themselves. Representative Escoval, Representative Reed, Senator Brzezinski, and Senator Beyer.
Sal Escoval, Representative District 6, Medford.
I'm Tobias Reed, State Representative from District 27, which is currently Beaverton, southwest, a little bit of southwest Portland, and some unincorporated Washington, Multnomah counties.
Mr. Co-Chair, Floyd Przonski, State Senator, District 4, parts of Lane and Douglas counties. Apologize for being late.
Senator Beyer.
Lee Beyer, State Senator from District 6, which is Central Lane and Lane counties.
Thank you. We'll move to McMinnville now. And do we still just have two people that will be testifying?
Three. We have three of us.
Three, okay. Why don't we start with... Actually, why don't we go ahead with all three at this time as one panel, and if when you state your name, if you'll raise your hand so we can see who's speaking, you're a little zoomed out there, and also when you state your name, if you'll spell your name for the record, that'd be helpful. And then one last thing is when it comes to the time when we ask you questions, when you respond, if you'll state your name again so we know who's responding for the record. Go ahead.
My name is Patricia Day.
Just a minute, Ms. Day. Can everybody hear, or is this just the only
Barely.
Speaker?
Well,
very low.
We might try turning it up.
Yeah, we're going to turn the speaker up. Hopefully that will help.
Well, microphone bend over.
Okay, go ahead, and we'll tune our ears.
Okay. Did you hear what I said in the beginning?
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to speak to the issue of communities of common interest. And I think that's one of the major problems in Congressional District 1. The residents of Northwest Portland and the Pearl District have very little in common with McMinnville, Yamhill County, and Astoria to the north. They have urban issues. They have problems with mass transit. They have the joy of riding bicycles to work and high-density housing. Out here in Yamhill County, we don't have those problems, and we hope not to have them. The only reason I think District 1 has been drawn in the way it is purely partisan, even though that was banned by state law. The total population in Portland isn't large enough for one congressional district, yet they basically have three representatives in Congress. This is what we have under the current, by far, very highly partisan Bradbury plan. I urge the committee to put an end to that partisanship and the practice of allowing three representatives for one city when that city isn't entitled to more than one. I also ask you to remember that the Bradbury plan was upheld by the courts in Portland because the judge there was a Multnomah Bay County judge and appointed by a Democratic governor who also happens to be our current governor. And I think that's called forum shopping, and that's not the way you organize a district or a state political area. I think that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, whoever's next.
I was just going to add this. My name is Chadley Wiggins. I am a 21-year...
Would you please spell that for us?
S-H-A-D-L-E-Y. The last name is W-I-E-G-M-A-N. I've lived here for 21 years. Brian Boquist's testimony of the strangely drawn boundary that he has in his district, and we love you, Brian, is exactly what I want to address. He talked about there's not supposed to be fingers, but I tell you, if you look at the districts as they're drawn, it's more like some strange artist drew it, or you had to be drunk or something. The districts that's drawn don't make any sense. They curve, they do everything. It was obviously drawn for some specific reason. I don't believe that these fingers or these peninsulas that are drawn are the ones that unify us into a district. I think that we need to eliminate, as Pat said, the urban influence of going into the metro area with our District 1, and the strange configuration that we have in all of these districts. It has been many decades since the legislature has successfully enacted a plan, and part of the problem is it's giving undue power to a single party when the party of the governorship and the state Secretary of State's office, as the case is right now, are of the same party, and because the governor may veto any redistricting plan, and because everybody knows that the Secretary of State is the backup for drawing legislative plans, the party in control of both of these offices has a great amount of leverage and minimal incentive to come to a bipartisan agreement or plan in the legislature. I think it is time to change this whole thing and put this in the hands of an impartial group of people like the retired judges. Let's take this out of the legislature's hands. Let's take this out of the governor's hands. Let's try to make this thing bipartisan all the way. That's all I have to say.
All right, thank you. And then the gentleman, please.
My name is Tim Durfeld, D-U-E-R-F-E-L-D-T. My concern really is the clumps. As Brian Boquist mentioned, we have splinter groups of hundreds in one city up to McMinnville at 34,000 in another. So when we try and set our state standard, it's really difficult not to break out some of the cities. And that's partly what had already happened in the state level. As Shelley and Patricia appropriately announced, the federal is almost a different issue because the numbers are so big with 766,000. I'm as concerned about the state redistricting for the 12th Senate and the 23rd, 24th House. How we can control, not that we could have McMinnville and Newburgh in one, but there's the 63,000 in two separate cities. So that's just a concern. I tend to disagree with my ladies on the issue of politics happens. Sure, that's what it is. Right now it's a politics issue, but our judges are also appointed. So politically that's a difficult issue to become even. Good luck if you can do it. But that's not my prime concern. It's how we can balance, as already mentioned, the urban, rural, and common interest out in our representatives for the state of Oregon. That'll do it.
Okay, thank you.
We do have another speaker who just walked in.
We'll come back to her at a later time. We have questions for the three of you, though. I know that Representative Reed has a question. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, just a comment to clarify something we've mentioned at several of our previous hearings. The congressional districts, if they're not done in the legislature, are done by the court, not by the Secretary of State. Some people have made some comments about that, so I think that's important for us all to remember.
Thank you. Senator Telfer.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This question is for Jim. You said something about balancing urban and rural. What did you mean by balancing?
Well, because of our population split, we have two large communities of 30 and 28,000. When you try and do a representative district of 63, you either glump those two big ones or you split them and pick up small communities accordingly. So the idea of putting numbers together, how you can control two mass and a lot of small. Either the small ones don't get a fair representation because they're too small, or you put part of the too large in two separate districts. And Newburgh is just an example right now. It's split up into two separate areas. Numbers are very difficult to be exact, but I think that's kind of what I was clarifying. Does that make sense?
It does. Thank you, Jim.
Tim,
sorry.
All right. Any other questions for this panel? Okay, thank you. We'll rotate back here to Salem. And first of all, I just want to clarify, we have some other members of the Assembly that are here with us. Can we make sure we understand who are going to be testifying? Representative Thatcher, will you be testifying?
I'll speak up when I feel like I need to, but I was not planning to testify.
Okay.
No, thank you. I'm here to listen.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Let's see, we have Tom Bedsley from Marion County, Neil Feldman, and Francisco Lopez. Francisco, were you here with Robin Wright?
Yeah.
Why don't we wait till the next panel? You can come up together then. Thank you. And before we start, for the people in McMinnville, if you'll just note that the microphone's pretty sensitive, so we'd ask that you stay away from shuffling any papers or talking, et cetera, because we pick up a lot of stuff that's going there. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, they can also mute it, too.
Or, yes, if you have the ability there on your phone, if you'd go ahead and mute it,
while we're here in Salem, that would be helpful. Thank you. Go ahead.
Representative Lindsay, Senator Bonamici, committee members, my name is Tom Beasley. I've lived in Salem for 12 years, and I'm retired. I simply want to associate myself with the remarks that were made by the people testifying from McMinnville, because they expressed many of my own concerns about the redistricting that exists as it is today. I want to emphasize, most importantly, the problem I've seen in the last 12 years with the undue influence that Multnomah County and Portland influences on the election process in the state of Oregon. If you do nothing else, I agree with the people from McMinnville, you should make Multnomah County alone one district. We don't need three representatives in the congressional delegation from such an isolated area as Multnomah County. They don't consider themselves isolated, certainly. They almost consider themselves preeminent. But they're less than 20% of the total population of the state of Oregon. What sense does that make to have that kind of influence? Number two, I've always wondered, having lived for a decade in Walport, who draws the congressional district number five? What economic interest does Salem share with Yahats and Garibaldi? None that I can think of. And finally, the lady who said that possibly now is the time to shift redistricting to more sympathetic hands, I would slightly disagree. I think the time has come for the legislature to do what the legislature should be doing in this arena and not turn it away, stand up and take the responsibility to do it. Oregon deserves your work and effort on their behalf in that particular arena. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Feldman.
This is Neil Feldman, Salem. I'm just kind of a computer programmer, mainly, I think, like a computer programmer. And whenever I look at the district lines, I have to really wonder, who spilled the worms on the table. It's not, like I said, like pretty much most of them say, I don't know whether or not even Portland would fit in one congressional district. It's got a lot of people. But I hear a lot about this, we have to homogenize everything and everything in the district has to be associated with something else and whatever, and they're all the same. And people are too different anyway for that, as far as I'm concerned. But I personally prefer, I'd love it if we could just have, little rectangles around, whoever's in that group of population is in that group of population, and if they disagree on things, then they'll have heated elections. But they're still going to be represented just like anybody else. And so I'm just kind of curious. I don't know whether anyone's ever going to be interested in just a very simple map. Nobody else does it. I guess everybody else does it this way. Maybe we could be a trailblazer that way. I don't know. But, that's just my idea of it. I mean, when you sit there and you have, the whole concept of safe district, the person could be totally senile and wheeled in by an assistant and with an oxygen mask, but he gets reelected every year because he's their representative and they're all homogenized and so forth. So, and I understand that would pose issues to you all, but that's kind of why you're in the hot seats. But that's about all I have to say on that.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Questions? Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I wanted to, make a comment because I know, Mr. Beasley, you said something about what interest does Salem share with Waldport, and a couple of people in McMinnville made the comment about communities of interest. And I want to make it clear that our charge is not to make sure that every district is a community of interest. Our requirement in the statute is that we not divide communities of common interest. But because of the way the population is distributed, there may be various communities of interest within one House district or one Senate district or one congressional district. So the charge is not to make sure that the entire district is common. It's to make sure that we aren't dividing communities of common interest. And that's come up, you know, along the way as we've been traveling around the state. So I just wanted to clarify that.
May I respond?
Absolutely.
Certainly, there should be a community of interest for electoral problems where your political interests are completely inundated by distance from the influence of people in the more populous areas. You live in Waldport for a decade, and you wonder if anybody in Oregon knows you're there politically. End of story. So I take your point, but I think you need to carefully consider that those folks along the coast have a voice, possibly not a singular voice, but they have a strong voice in how they are governed. And I think you need to keep that in mind.
Understood.
And for the record, that was Mr. Beasley responding.
Sorry.
Follow up?
Mr. Co-Chair, yes, I wanted to make a comment about what Mr. Feldman said about the rectangles and how we could be a trailblazer. It's tempting, but I don't think it would work because of the requirements in the statute. We do really need to balance by population. There can be some deviation in the legislative districts, not in the congressional districts, but because we have to divide the districts without dividing communities of interest and using geographic and political boundaries and divide by population, people just don't live in rectangular blocks. It would make our job much easier, but it's intriguing. But as a committee member, I don't think that would work. But thank you for your idea.
If I may clarify,
sure.
I didn't mean necessarily rectangles of uniform size.
Right.
I mean, you could have, you know, small, you know, boxes like up here, you know, in Portland, you know, over here in Eastern Oregon, they'd be bigger. But, you know, there's programs, you know, there's computer programs that can sit there and, you know, just follow populations, and just the boxes would grow and ebb and flow and do that. But this stuff that just goes around and around like this and ties itself up in a knot, I just can't really imagine. I mean, I'm pretty intelligent, but I can't figure out a reason that that is essential.
We've heard testimony from Professor Levitt, and who is, I guess, a preeminent lawyer on this, good expert on this. The working term that he uses is maximally compact districts. I think that's a good working term. Any other questions? Okay, thank you. Let's go back to McMinnville. And why don't you come up to the front table there, please? And we just had one person additional show up? Okay. Go ahead, and when you start, would you please state and spell your name for the record?
I will. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. I'm Kathleen O'Brien Blair. It's K-A-T-H-L-E-E-N, O apostrophe B-R-I-E-N, Blair, B-L-A-I-R. And I live at 595 Southwest Ruby Court in McMinnville.
Go ahead. Go ahead and provide your testimony.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. As a private citizen, I will start this testimony by reminding all of us that Japan has been a vivid and recent reminder of what nature can and does wreak upon even the wealthiest and best disaster-prepared nations of the planet, and yet they are resilient. We are not yet. Nature always backs last, and human populations are an embedded and deeply woven part of nature, whether we will it or no. I live in McMinnville, Oregon, a small rural county seat in Yamhill County, which is entirely a rural county. Sure, we have an unfortunate few of the urbanism hobbyists hanging around, but the fact is that our county and our small towns are rural by nature, by heritage, and in their future. My husband and I moved here when Columbia Sportswear offered him a job, and in doing my family genealogy, I found my ancestor, Stephen Beecham, buried up in the Masonic Cemetery in McMinnville. We moved back not because it was a bedroom community for us, but because we had ancestors here. Stephen actually had one of the original donation land claims. So I'm in the peculiar and happy position of being at once from Yamhill County for 150 years and a fairly modern resident. I see the culture and our future from both sides, and in my opinion, I have a more balanced view of it than most. I'm also a community emergency response team member, both for our county and our town, McMinnville. I volunteer at local homeless severe weather shelters, our local public access cable station, and have volunteered at local soup kitchens, the community garden, and other county and town community health organizations. I'm a veteran of both the United States Marine Corps, as was my mother before me in World War II, and the United States Air Force, and both of those DD-214s are on record with our county clerk. I'm a mathematician and a meteorologist by training, and a cultural anthropologist, gardener, and comparative theologian by avocation. I really am a Renaissance woman. Veterans issues, especially homeless and women's veteran issues, are very important to me, but what is most important to me is where I live and all my neighbors and friends and distant relations who live around me and being a well-involved citizen. And so I say to you, when you redraw the House districts that include most parts of Yamhill County, we urge that one House district encompass all of Newburgh and Dundee, taking in Newburgh northeast and rural as shown on the school district boundary, and also include all of the remainder of Yamhill County, especially Sheridan, Willamina. Now, I know that's going to be a mathematical problem because of the population figures, but I think we're I think we're smarter than the challenge, and here's why. Right now, our entirely rural county with our small rural towns is cleaved into three pieces in three separate House districts. And we must be reunited under one House district if we are to be ever able to address the needs of our grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren. As I have not been so blessed, I find the futures of others' grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren to be even more precious. Now, people will disagree with me, but hear me out.
Ms. O'Brien, as a notice that you got 1 minute to go, just so you know.
Yes. Our primary concerns are Newburgh-Dundee, and they are communities of interest, which are now cleaved in two because they share fire, police, emergency services, management, schools, libraries, and parks. So they need to be in the same House district. Willamina and Sheridan are disconnected from the rest of the county in spite of the fact of being only 12 miles from the county seat with no other towns in between. As for emergency services and earthquake preparedness, Yamhill County has unique and pressing needs. When, not if, but when a major earthquake happens, most of our small country towns will be isolated from each other and the outside world because we're a county community connected by bridges, and these bridges are not earthquake-proof and are currently unsafe for the heavy traffic they now carry. Willamette Valley Medical Center in McMinnville will be entirely unreachable by ground if our bridges go down. Now, you're going to be told we're experiencing growth, but that's not really true because the 2010 census missed the growth peak in 2008 when the Great Depression hit. And the veteran community fled because they lost their homes to foreclosure and unemployment. So actually, we're shrinking, and that needs to be taken into account. Okay. It would be waste, fraud, and abuse of the taxpayers' money to permit a Dundee bypass instead of spending that money on our bridges and our existing infrastructure and on finding people who are now here.
Thank you for your testimony. You're beyond your 4 minutes. Could you just wrap up, please, Lee?
That's
please?
It.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Ms. O'Brien Blair? Okay, thank you so much for your testimony. And if you'd go ahead and push the mute button again, we'd appreciate it.
I will. Thank you to the legislature for doing this really thankless job.
Mr. Co-Chair, we do have Ms. O'Brien Blair's written testimony.
Yes, we do have it.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Lopez and Robin Wright, please.
Dear co-chairs, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Francisco Lopez, resident of South Salem and executive director of Causa Oregon Latino Civil Rights Immigrant Rights Organization here in Oregon. Thanks for holding this hearing in Salem, especially since the Latino population has particularly grown in the central Willamette Valley. 3 points from my favorite testimony are so important, I'll briefly recap them. Number one, it is legal for redistricting to be race conscious and include drawing majority, minority, and minority opportunity districts. Number two, non-citizens observe representation because they are constitutionally considered people. And this is why the census counts everyone. And number three, redistricting is based on the census because of the importance of representation. So don't split up concentrations of Latino residents into multiple districts, even if electing a Latino representative from that area might not be feasible. One of Council's goals is to increase the political power of Latinos in Oregon, and we recognize that redistricting is a political process. The lack of representation of Latinos in the Oregon legislature is illustrated by recent history of Latino legislative priorities such as tuition equity and driver's license restoration. This is changing as we are organizing to make Latino voice heard in the Capitol building. For example, there were over hundreds of people who testified or attended recent hearings on tuition equity. And just yesterday, over 2,000 people attended a rally in Senate Bill 845 to restore driver's license access to all Oregonians. I just want to acknowledge Senator Lee Bayer for listening testimony there all the way to 8 p.m. I want to acknowledge for his dedication and support of the Latino community. So thank you, Senator. But we're still having a strong political difference with some elected officials in this building, there is no secret, regarding fair representation on issues of importance for the Latino community. We also thank legislators that support our agenda, but too few legislators from our growing community are representative here. Given the political nature of redistricting, I also want to urge that the criteria banning dilution of minority voting strength not be ignored to meet political demands. True partisan advantage is not supposed to be a factor in redistricting. It seems possible that these criteria could be met by drawing new districts that give equal partisan options, reflecting the current power dynamics in this building. Such an approach will leave out the concerns of the growing number of people of color in Oregon. This is not only not legal, it is unfair. Before turning to the Willamette Valley focus of this hearing, please recognize that carrying out point three is applicable in other parts of the state. One example relates to several concentrations of Latinos in Washington County. But such population clusters of Latinos also occur in more rural parts of the state. For example, current House District 58 is 23% Latino. These residents are primarily in and around Hermiston. More important, there is also a concentration of Latino residents in the northeast corner of House District 57 that reflects that this community extends from the Hermiston area towards Borman. Drawing new lines in that area should keep this concentration of Latinos in one district. This approach also seems consistent with the agricultural patterns of that area. You will hear more details about the Latino population in all of the central Willamette districts, but that figure is 51% in current House District 22. The district is very close to the target population, so one option is to maintain district, which is also justified by the important role of Highway 99 plays as the spine of a very similar area on either side of this from North Salem to Wilburn. But we recognize that there could be multiple options to maintain concentrations of Latinos in this area. For this reason, we urge that public hearings also be held on draft maps so we can comment as the redistricting process continues beyond the initial round of informational hearings. Thank you.
Thank you. And for the record, my name is Robin Wright, and I'm also a resident of Salem and the policy analyst with CAUSA. And as my colleague Francisco Lopez has already outlined some of the current concerns regarding the importance of creating and maintaining majority-minority and minority opportunity districts, particularly in light of the growth in the Latino population that we've seen in Oregon over the past 10 years. I am here mostly to provide a brief kind of numerical and statistical snapshot of what the growth has looked like here in the Mid-Valley and throughout the state. It is our hope that this data will bring a helpful framework for incorporating the presence of the Latino community into our redistricting discussions. As we probably all are aware, recently released data from the 2010 census shows that the Latino population grew 63% from 2000 and now constitutes 11.7% of the total population in Oregon. And growth in the Latino population population constituted 43% of the total population growth that we saw in Oregon over the past 10 years. There are now 450,000 Latinos living in Oregon, and as we know, the Mid-Valley region has historically been a place where that Latino population has been and has seen a lot of that growth. And now what I have coming up next is a whole lot of numbers, and I don't necessarily want to run you through all of them. You do have packets that you have probably already seen this, but it does provide the information regarding the presence of Latino populations in the Mid-Valley Senate and House districts that we're talking about today, so you have that there in front of you. But just briefly to highlight some of the districts that I think Francisco mentioned one of them, but that we see as having particular importance. In House District 21 in 2000 had a Hispanic population of 10.3%, and we now see, sorry, that was in House District 20, and now it has 13.9%, and in 2000 House District 21 was at 17.2%, and now it is at 28%. And finally, House District 22, as Francisco mentioned, has historically had a high concentration of Latinos, and we now see 51% of the population being Hispanic, which is up from just 40% in 2000. We also have, of course, the Senate districts in the Valley mirror that growth. And of those, Senate District 11, which constitutes House District 21 and 22, has the highest concentration of Latinos with a population constituting 40%. And so really, just what these numbers illustrate is the importance of accounting for this growth in the Latino population that we've seen in the Mid-Valley and in this redistricting process, taking account of those communities of interest that we have in House and Senate districts in the Mid-Valley. As we know, race and ethnicity can't be the only determining factor when considering redrawing lines, yet it is important to note that the Latino community in this area does form very strong communities and interest in a lot of these cities and in a lot of these rural areas. And that as we kind of continue in this process, communities of interest can clearly not be demonstrated just by all those nice charts that you have in front of you or any of the maps that we have, but further discussion will be necessary to illustrate the ways in which these communities of interest are also held together by industry, by jobs, by the shops people go to, by the churches they're going to, and many of the other cultural and kind of daily life practices that we see that are tying these communities of interest together. And we've only really been able to kind of briefly highlight some general concerns and some general numbers that I think really show the importance of this, and so we would really look forward to continue to participate in incorporating the Latino community into the discussions that we're having in redistricting. So thank you.
All right, thank you both. We have questions from the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Lopez, thank you for your testimony today. You mentioned that you felt that there are many different options available to keep the Latino population represented in House District 22. Can you describe what some of those other options may be that you said that would keep them together?
Chair of the committee, co-chairs of the committee, represent the camera. We're still looking at the study of that. We are going to submit our view how that will be released, but we'll get that information back to you very soon. But we'll provide that to you. Okay. So I don't want to give you a preliminary count of that without giving you a final, more elaborated and educated redistricting process that we'll see will be important for us.
Okay. Follow up with me. Is there substantial Latino populations to the north of Woodburn and to the east of Woodburn?
Oh, yes, definitely. Okay. That we're looking at.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Other questions? Okay, thank you both very much.
Thank you.
We're still in Salem. So we have Liz Marlia Stein. Hope I got that right. And Timmy Parker, please.
Yeah.
I'm Liz Marlia Stein. I'd like to thank you. We'd both like to thank you very much for giving us the opportunity to speak about our Yamhill County. And Timmy is from Newburgh. I'm from McMinnville. We're both residents of the county for over 25 years. And being involved as we've been in both of our communities, we've seen a lot of fractured areas in our county. And so we're here to speak about what we believe might really help out our county as far as in this redistricting process. And Timmy, you wanted to start.
Hi, I'm Timmy Parker. I'm very happy to be here. Thank you very much for your work on these issues. I am from Newburgh, and I've lived in Newburgh. It'll be 27 years in August. I have lived and worked in Newburgh, I should say. I've worked outside of Newburgh. So I have experienced both Newburgh as a community where I stay to live and work, and also a community where I commute to another area to work. So I would like to point out that Newburgh is a community that's been there for a very long time and has a very strong sense of identity, and is not merely a bedroom community, although that portion of the community has certainly grown. And I really should correct myself. When I say Newburgh, I'm really speaking of Newburgh-Dundee, which is how it is often referred to by most of the people who live there. And I think that is one of the primary concerns that we have about the redistricting. Newburgh, as Kathleen O'Brien Blair pointed out, and she gave a lot of the testimony that we were going to give here today, and we want to affirm that and add to it. Newburgh and Dundee share a school district. They share fire and police emergency services. They share a library, and really in many ways share an identity, although there are some distinctions. They have been in two different house districts for the last 10 years, and what's really interesting is that there's only a little piece of Dundee that's actually in the House District with Newburgh. I think the most important thing your committee could do would be to find a way to put Newburgh and Dundee into the same House District, and that would be my primary request of this committee. In doing the research for this testimony, we really had an aha moment. We were looking at the interactive map, looking at the numbers, and we realized that Yamhill County is actually represented by four different House representatives and three different senators. We have seven representatives representing our county. Of those seven, one lives in the county. The other six live outside of the county. And that is a real concern to us, that our county actually is being well represented by people who have never lived there or do not live there currently.
I'm going to interrupt. Could you just maybe put another inch between you and your mic?
Oh, I'm sorry.
A little less feedback.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thank
you.
Sorry. Perfect. Yes. Let's see. I have to get back on track here. We've looked at the numbers and realized that the numbers are difficult there in terms of putting Newburgh, McMinnville, and Dundee in some way together. Newburgh is particularly problematic, in my opinion, because it is part of Senate District 13 and yet has almost nothing in common with most of the other communities in that Senate district. The House district includes Kaiser, which is geographically distant from Newburgh in a different county and a very different kind of community. So I ideally would love to see Newburgh become more a part of Yamhill County. This is an effort that I'm working on to have more of a sense of unity and identity for Newburgh with McMinnville. And so I think that trying to to change these numbers in some way, to put these numbers together, would be very, very helpful, and I really appreciate anything you can do. I will say also that I have raised three children in Yamhill County. It's a wonderful place to live. I love the small-town nature of Newburgh, and really, we are growing. It has slowed down in the last couple years with the recession. I expect that the growth will resume because of property values being more reasonable there, and it's a wonderful place to live. We have great schools in Newburgh. So I really, one of the most important things to me is helping to maintain that small town flavor and identity while also accommodating growth. Thank you.
If I could add one more note about Sheridan and Willamina, they are both in Senate Districts 10 and 23, which, you know, they have commonalities with both of those districts, but if you look at the map, they are cut out from the rest of our county, and they... Because they are such small towns and have no other larger towns around them, they do identify with McMinnville. And I just think it would be wonderful for those two communities to have that commonality with our part of the county. It just amazes me that it's so fractured the way it is, so... Thank you so much for allowing us to speak.
Thank you for your testimony. Questions? All right. Thank you both.
Okay.
Has anybody else arrived in McMinnville? Hello?
Oh, you guys are ready to speak. Just listening.
Okay, so there's no one else there to testify?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. Let's call Janice Williamson and David Bowman.
Thank you, Co-Chair Lindsay, Co-Chair Garrett, and Co-Chair Bonabici, and the rest of the committee. My name is Janice Williamson. I live at 4065 Mandy Avenue Southeast, Salem, Oregon, and I've been a resident of Marion County for 20 years and 19 days. It is my
fervent... Would you mind just stepping back from the mic a little bit? It gets very distorted if you're too close to it, so...
Can we get that? Is that better?
Perfect. Yes.
Okay. It is my fervent plea that this committee bring some sanity into the process of setting legislative and congressional districts in the state of Oregon. The unfair boundaries that were set many years ago rob you of an equal basis when it comes to your voting rights. It's being hogged by the boundaries and wishes of voters in Portland. 15% of the state's population is ruling the rest of us by way of district boundaries and 3/5 of the congressional delegation. That's 60% of our state's representation catering to the whims of Portland's high-density population without regard for rural areas of the state. There is no logical reason other than partisan politics for Portland to have 3 representatives. For far too long, there have been a severe imbalance in the way districts have been drawn. You are charged with the daunting and very doable task of drawing the legislative and congressional districts by the code set down in ORS 188.010, which clearly defines priorities to be connected by transportation links, that's easy enough, be contiguous, be of equal population, and not divide communities of common interest. That's an important point. The economic interest of the community should be a controlling factor so as not to divide the real glue that holds the communities together. There's a huge difference in lifestyles between rural and urban dwellers. It shall utilize, this is what the statute says, shall utilize existing geographic and political boundaries. What? That sounds to me like a mandate to follow the status quo. I beg the committee to use caution when drawing these boundaries, lest it appear to the voters that gerrymandering is continuing. It further states, no district shall be drawn for the purpose of favoring any political party, incumbent legislator, or other person, or be drawn for the purpose of diluting the voting strength of any language or ethnic minority group. The people of Oregon are smarter now about the ways of politics. We have voted you a 30-30 tie in the legislature, which for now means our wishes are for fair and balanced voting districts. No longer peninsulas or long skinny fingers sticking out to call attention to the fact the system is being rigged. We want no wheels or pie-shaped districts over large cities that leave the lesser populated areas at the end of the pie without votes to protect themselves. Therefore, I urge this committee to draw a circle around Portland that makes a single congressional district. Salem should be handled in the same manner to hold the communities of common economic value together. Thank you.
Sir, my name is David Bowman. I'm going to come at this from a different perspective than you've heard tonight. I'm going to come at it from a strictly professionally based analysis of how do you arrive at fact-finding to cover the legislation that was passed. From a fact-finding position, you have to start with the census data. And the census data is very specific so that you can then work within the census to find the boundaries for the Senate districts for the state. Once you found the Senate districts for the state, it is much easier to work on the representative districts. And in the facts that I've presented you tonight, I believe that my numbers will show you that with minor adjustments to county boundaries will provide you with the information you need to make districts that fall within the bounds of the law. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Questions from the committee? Going once.
I'm not on the committee. I'm sorry, but
questions from anybody who's
can you
up
be,
here.
Can you be more specific when you're talking about the counties? Are you saying start with the county and then work out from there? Is that
correct? Okay. I did my analysis working, trying to find a way to put counties in groupings that would provide the Senate districts, and they do come out fairly consistent. There are overages and underages that you would be able to adjust on the border lines, and in so doing, I think you meet the requirements of the law.
Further questions?
Thank you
both. No one else has signed up, but I know some people entered the room after we started. So is there anybody else here who'd like to testify before we adjourn? Sir, please come forward. If you would just state your name, please, and then give your testimony.
My name is David Steyer. I live in Kaiser, House District 25. my remarks, I want to focus on District 25. We've had a couple of other people testifying regarding the northern extent of House District 25, a la Newburgh, and understanding some of the questions that the committee will have to answer. One of the questions you ask is, what geographic features divide communities? I would say, for one, a river would be one of those dividing points. And, of course, Newburgh is on the other side of the Willamette from Kaiser. And it seems to me that you could almost, although it is a nice lengthy finger, it's almost like a barbell weight. You have Newburgh at one end, Kaiser at the other end, and you have this long skinny piece connecting the two. It's really not difficult to put Kaiser in with a better community of interest, which would be North Salem, because almost all of the people of Kaiser either work in Salem, they work in Kaiser, a few go out to Portland. But really, the community of interest is in that area of North Salem. Now, I understand due to the close proximity of the Senate President's residence to the southern city limit of Kaiser, you'd have to be careful to not draw him out of his district. But in any event, we would be able to meet both the people of Yamhill County's interests and also Kaiser's interests by compacting Kaiser in with North Salem. And also to answer one of the Kaus's concerns, St. Paul and that area west of Woodburn is also would be considered a community of interest for the Latinos simply because of the presence of the mission in St. Paul. And so, and knowing that the high school has a high Latino population in the student body. So you could draw a district to include Woodburn, Jervis, St. Paul, Hubbard, and out east that way, rather than, again, extending District 22 from North Salem all the way up to Woodburn on the other side of I-5 from District 25. That's it.
Thank you very much. Questions from the committee?
I'm waiting to find out if somebody's going to clarify the statute with regard to...
I will.
...where somebody lives.
The law does not care where the Senate President lives. Representative Thatcher, was this for the...
Well, I'll make a comment because he is from my district, as were a couple of other previous speakers, and what they said made sense. I mean, I love my district, so I mourn getting it chopped up, but, you know, I think what they said made a lot of sense, just for the record.
Okay. Did someone just come in to McMinnville? Can you hear us?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good timing. Can we have your name, please, and then give us your testimony? Could you say your name again and spell it for us, please?
Sure, it's actually Annette, the last name is Fernandez,
Okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to weigh in as a citizen of this county for more than 20 years. Former winery and vineyard owner in the Carlton, Carlton AVA, which is a viticultural area. And I know that when we're talking about looking at redistricting, I did spend some time looking at the maps online, and certain little cutouts of our county really don't make a lot of sense to me. One is in the lower southwest corner, which is still kind of Sheridan, which are included in Polk County for some strange reason, even though they are considered West Valley, the Mendoza area, and the other area of concern being eastern half, roughly, of the city of Newburgh, which is included down the coast all the way up Kaiser, which also, just geographically, doesn't seem to make very much sense with me. The city of Newburgh is almost exactly split in half, east and west. That portion that is off with the other districts, and I believe it's 12 and 24, which is the house of
district should be alive with the rest of the Yamhill County. Number one, we are all in the same county. We have a three-member board of commissioners, which have land use rulings and road use rulings that affect all of the citizens of Yamhill County. And
thank you very much. Mm-hmm. We have questions from the committee or other members who were here. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, last call for testimony. Thank you all for being here. I want to read a few into the record that we've received since our last hearing. We have received testimony from Mark White of Multnomah County, received on April 16. Jonathan Bilden of Jackson County received April 19, and Deanne Matthews of Benton County received April 19, 2011. Where do I need to read? Anyway. Thank you again. I'm going to close the House, close this hearing, and adjourn the House Committee on Redistricting.
I will close the Senate Committee on Redistricting.